Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, December 12th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Two new city laws dealing with animals earned final approval last night from the Sitka Assembly. The first measure deals with bears. They often are drawn into neighborhoods by smelly garbage. And city code requires homeowners to keep their bear-attracting trash out of reach from bears until trash day. Up until now, Sitka police were required to issue a warning to violators on their first offense. The change approved last night would allow them to immediately write a $150 ticket. The second offense would bring a $300 ticket. No one testified about the measure last night, and it easily passed. The Assembly also voted unanimously to ban dogs from a brand new baseball diamond. Muller Field was recently refurbished with artificial turf. City officials say dogs, especially when they dig or leave behind their waste, can damage that turf. The ordinance approved last night only pertains to Muller. An earlier version included the Kimsham Ballfield complex, but that was taken out for further consideration after strong objections from residents. Resident David Durham testified against the Muller Field ordinance. He said the city should penalize owners who are irresponsible rather than people who simply have leash dogs on the field. He called the $300 fine, quote, ludicrous. Both the bear ordinance and the dog ban go into effect within 30 days. Construction crews are scheduled to break ground this week on one of the largest projects in Sitka history. 2 years and millions of dollars from now, the Blue Lake Dam should be 83 feet taller, and Sitka should be able to make more electricity from water. KCAW's Ed Ronco has details.
Raising the height of the Blue Lake Dam has already cost millions and taken years of work to conduct surveys, obtain permits, and design the thing. And for years, Dean Orbison has been one of the people wading through hundreds of thousands of pages of permits, designs, contracts, regulations, surveys, reports.
Well, it's kind of exciting to finally do something, you know, shall I say productive?
Orbison is a generation engineer for the city's electric department and project manager on the Blue Lake Dam expansion. He just moved his office recently from the city's public works complex on Jarvis Street out to the Sawmill Cove Industrial Park. That's where the equipment and workers will do a lot of staging for the job. But the work itself will take place about 2 miles up Blue Lake Road.
The equipment that's going to be going up to the lake is, you know, pretty incredible. We're going to have a crane that reaches entirely across the dam.
Portions of Blue Lake Road will be closed to the public for up to 2 years while the project is underway.
First of all, we'll be hauling spoils out from all of our blasting. All the rock that we're blasting up there is, for the most part, going to be hauled back to the industrial park, and we can't have the general public on the road getting run over by the big trucks.
The road will still be open as usual from its base at Sawmill Creek Road up to Heart Lake, but the area beyond, including the campground, will be closed. Closing the road will not be the only impact the project has on the general public. Utility Director Chris Bruton told the Sitka Assembly that electric customers will likely see changes on their bills.
I fully anticipate that we're going to have some significant changes in not just the rates themselves, but the rate structures.
In July, the Assembly boosted electric rates for people who use very little electricity and those who use a lot. The idea was to set a minimum amount that people had to pay to get utility service and then promote conservation by charging extra to heavy users. But the Blue Lake construction contract came in above $90 million, despite engineering estimates that originally put the cost around $50 million. Sitka has asked the state legislature for money and is also planning to borrow from the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank. And Bruton says now that the project will cost more than originally thought.
Our objectives have changed. We're not really looking at conservation per se so much. We're looking at maximizing sales and trying to keep the cost as low as possible for our ratepayers per class, but also recovering adequate revenue to meet our bond covenants and maintain the utilities.
In other words, Bruton says they need to keep rates attractive to customers, but that the city also needs to make some money to pay back whatever it borrows. He did not toss out any numbers on Tuesday night. Exactly how the rates get retooled will depend on how much money the city ends up borrowing. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Sitka Wrestling's programs produced three champions over the weekend at the state tournament in Nikiski. The wins were not enough to put either Mount Edgecombe or Sitka High into the top three in team points, but coaches say their wrestlers performed well. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Mount Edgecombe and Sitka High took 6th and 7th, respectively, in the small schools tournament. Both teams had wrestled earlier in the season at the ACS tournament in Anchorage and were expecting tough competition from schools in the interior and western Alaska. Mount Edgecombe's Michael Matthew took the state title at 182 pounds. The senior from Quinnahawk won an 11-7 decision over Shiler Johnson of Unalakleet. Johnson wrestled for Mount Edgecombe last year and went all the way to the finals in the same weight class. Matthew took it in stride.
It was a little intimidating because I hadn't wrestled him before, but I told myself, just go out there, wrestle your best, and just whatever happens, happens, and just go hard.
Mount Edgecombe coach Mike Kimber was not quite so relaxed. He grew up in Unalakleet. He says Michael Matthews' match was one of the hardest he's ever had to watch.
Unalakleet's a community and it's a family, and so you're kind of competing against your family that you grew up knowing. It was pretty difficult to do that because I wanted Shiler to win so badly, but I also wanted Michael to win so badly.
This is the fourth year in a row Mount Edgecombe has returned from the state tournament with an individual champion. Kimber may be looking toward the lighter weight classes in the future, 98 pounds in particular.
I remember it getting really loud when I got my first takedown. I think the crowd was on my side. They liked seeing the girl dominate.
That's Mount Edgecombe junior Deirdre Creed, who won regionals in her weight class and took fifth at state. Her twin brother Trevor also took fifth at 113 pounds. The Creeds are from Kotzebue. Deirdre says she and her brother fought like any siblings, but it evolved into sports.
We both started wrestling in third grade. We're the first people to wrestle in our family, and our parents kind of just had us start out wrestling because they wanted us to stay active, and we both fell in love with the sport.
According to Mount Edgecombe coach Kimber, Creed is the first female regional wrestling champion and the first female to place in the state tournament since Taylor O'Donnell in 2000. O'Donnell went on to wrestle in the Olympics 4 years later. There was drama for the Sitka High wrestling team this year as well. Senior Mitchell Board captured the state title at 170 pounds. Moreover, he went undefeated this season, 32-0. He says he tried not to let it affect his wrestling, but it's a hard thought to put down.
Probably like three tournaments in, that's when I started thinking about it.
Board finished fifth last year, making his season both incredible and somewhat unexpected. Board also plays quarterback on the Sitka football team and hopes to walk on in college in Colorado. Jaron Sumawong took a strong second for Sitka at 138 pounds. Sumawong won regionals in his weight class but lost in the state final on a 9-4 decision. He says the back-to-back tournaments are not as hard on athletes as you might think.
By the time I get to state, it's like the perfect time. It's not like you've been wrestling too long, but it's not too early in the season to where you're not at your top skill level.
Sumawong, a junior, will wrestle again next year for Sitka and could likely be a top seed at state. Sitka's biggest threat in Anchorage was also one of its smallest wrestlers. Darren Davis took the title at 106 pounds for the second year in a row. Davis pinned Bethel's Gage Hoffman less than a minute into the final.
I've wrestled this guy before. I wrestled him in Anchorage, and I pinned him in Anchorage, too. This time, I just went out there and got a shot in early. It was just the right situation. I got the right move I wanted.
Davis, a senior, plans to wrestle in an open tournament in Reno, Nevada before wrapping up his season. He says it's an opportunity to get his name out there and to be seen by college coaches. Sitka High took seven wrestlers to state, four of whom scored points. Head coach Aaron Routon is justifiably proud.
A couple of the other kids had higher dreams than what happened, and that's the way the state tournament goes sometimes. It's a very high level of competition, and your opponents are ready to come after you, no matter if you're ranked first at state or if you're not ranked at state.
Routon says his wrestlers were in every minute of every match, and one, Elliot Anderson, was in it to the last second, defeating a Cordova opponent on a switch with less than 10 seconds to go for third place at 195 pounds.
Even though wrestling is an individual sport, it's also a team sport, and these guys got there with the help of their team.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
A Texas woman has been arrested in Alaska on allegations she abducted her son. The Sitka Police Department on Monday arrested Mickey Brogdon on a request from the U.S. Marshals Service. She allegedly took her son last November from Amarillo, Texas, where she was wanted for interference with child custody. The Marshals Service said in a release that the child was placed in custody of State Office of Children's Services pending the return to his father. Brogdon was arraigned Tuesday in Sitka Superior Court. Marshall says this was the 400th missing child recovered in Operation Pickup, a combined program of the Marshals, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and local law enforcement. Negotiations are reportedly ongoing between House Majority Leader Eric Cantor and Vice President Joe Biden about reauthorizing the Violence Against Women Act. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, key provisions for Alaska are at stake.
The last reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act in 2005 called for a national baseline study of domestic abuse victims in Indian country. It did not include Alaskan Natives, which was likely just an oversight. But the current reauthorization, which has passed both the House and Senate, would include them in future studies. And U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski says that could lead to more money for domestic violence services in the state.
It helps us in our ability to obtain additional grant dollars. Those federal funds that would be available to help on issues that relate to domestic violence, whether it's the shelters, whether it is just levels of support for victims of domestic violence.
There are a few sticking points between the House and Senate versions. The Senate extends protections to immigrants and gays and lesbians. It also grants tribal courts in the lower 48 the ability to issue restraining orders against non-natives. Mary Lundquist is a senior assistant attorney general for the state. She says that last provision is already in effect in Alaska, even though, in her eyes, the tribal courts are on shaky footing.
Whether they have the authority to do it or not, I don't think has been litigated, but it is done. And the policy of the state of Alaska that when a protective order is issued, the state enforces them and asks later.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories and would like to hear them again, please visit us online, kcaw.org.